Well, how shall I begin today? Maybe a happy Black Friday, everyone? I know, it's not Friday, it's Sunday. But for some reason, Black Friday seems to be a whole month of Fridays. It's a time where we are encouraged to think about the many things that we want. The Christian message is that no matter how much or how little we have or think we should have, God will give us the fullness of joy to fill our hearts, something no door crasher can give us. There is no need to crash the doors of the kingdom of heaven. We will not get in by violence or by desire, but by love. That's the password. That's the answer to the skill testing question. On this last year of Sunday, the last Sunday of the liturgical year, we celebrate that Jesus is our King. And what does that mean? Well, in between the two world wars of the 20th century, the atheistic powers of communism and fascism were leading the world against a religious way of looking at the world. But Pope Pius IX introduced this feast to make the statement that what we had always believed, that even if a country stops being Christian, and even when devotion to Christ is discouraged and outlawed, Christ is still our King. Christ has always been our King. And government leaders can't change that. Systems can't change that. So Christ the King Sunday, the end of ordinary time, just before Advent, celebrates the authority of Christ as King and Lord of the cosmos. And we celebrate the full and final triumph and return of the one through whom the entire universe was created and by whom it was completely remade. King of the universe, but also King of our hearts. And so we need to make this personal, don't we? Jesus began his public ministry with the proclamation that the kingdom of God is at hand. At the Last Supper, the conclusion of his earthly ministry, he declared, "I will not drink the fruit of the vine again until that day I drink it new in my Father's kingdom." So, brothers and sisters in Christ, that kingdom is in the future to be sure, but it is also here with us now and asking us to make a decision about our King. Well, imagine a king who is a shepherd, but also a warrior, and also a judge, and also a servant. And Jesus is all those things. How unusual. I once knew someone who said, "I don't use the word Lord for God. I don't want to give someone power over me. It makes me feel vulnerable, like I'm not in control of my own life." Typically, you know, you and I, we mistrust authority. We want to protect ourselves from unjust authority, of course, but we also mistrust authority out of pride, resenting any power over us. You know, in ancient Israel, kings were supposed to reflect the authority of God, not their own authority. So the question is, for us, children and adults alike, and youth, can we trust God to be our King? The God who takes on our flesh, Jesus Christ, says to his Father in the garden, "Not my will be done, but yours." And then he goes out and gives his entire self to us, his body and his blood for love of humanity. That doesn't sound like most of the rulers of the world, does it? But it does sound like an authority we can trust and follow, despite how unusual that is. David was the first king of the dynasty which resulted in Jesus the King. And he was a shepherd. A good king was often referred to as a shepherd. The history of salvation in the Bible is full of shepherds. All the patriarchs were shepherds. Boys and girls were shepherds, apparently, as well. Rachel was tending her father's sheep when she met Jacob at the well. And David was caring for his father's sheep when he got the call to defeat Goliath and the enemies of Israel. And shepherds got the call from an angel and were the first to see the newborn Savior, the newborn King, Jesus, the Savior of the world. So shepherds found pastures for the sheep to eat as well as pools to drink of water. They protected them against animals or prey and against bad weather. They went out looking for the strays and they fixed their injuries. They kept perfect order, harmony, and unity in the flock. And we heard beautifully sung and chanted, and we responded. The 23rd Psalm today is about the God who does all those things for his people. "The Lord is my shepherd." This was the song of trust in the shepherd's care. "There is nothing I shall want. He leads me even through the dark places of my life." The ancient prophet Ezekiel describes the shepherd particularly as the one who gathers and scatters the lost. Back then, it was those returning to Jerusalem after it had been destroyed and many years in captivity. So God was almost literally gathering the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But Ezekiel was also complaining about kings who were not good shepherds, who were looking out more for themselves than for the people that they were supposed to shepherd. But Jesus came to gather the people on a much bigger scale, not just the people of Israel. He came to gather all of God's children in all the nations of the world who have wandered away from truth and from goodness. He is the shepherd who leaves the 99. Do you remember that? And he goes and looking for just the one sheep. He's the one who has a joy at one single sinner who returns and rejoins the flock. And that's where we come in. You know, we don't really want to think about ourselves as sheep. And we don't want to think of ourselves perhaps as lost. But in a way, on our own, we are kind of lost. And we are a way too attracted to selfish interest, to pride, lust, envy, and anger, and to Black Friday specials on appliances and electronics. But if we can't see ourselves as lost, then we won't be able to hear the shepherd's voice calling us together and asking us to care for each other as he cares for us. Disciples scattered like sheep when he was arrested. But after his resurrection, Jesus said to Peter, "Feed my lambs, feed my sheep." And that's still what Jesus does in the church today and what he's asking us to do. Pastors for sure, bishops and pastors of parishes, but all of us as well. Well, you know that Jesus has won his kingship not by power, but by love. Jesus made it pretty clear. There are two commandments: love God, love your neighbor. We know that some people kill in the tragically misguided belief that that is for God. But Christ is not a king who kills anyone. On the contrary, he dies for everyone. He does not spill the blood of anyone. He sheds his blood for all. He does not sacrifice anyone. He sacrifices himself for his servants, whom he calls friends. What an unusual king. Jesus Christ entered into the middle of our needs. He experienced the worst of everything that we experience: rejection, physical pain, and mental anguish. And he stood between us and the ultimate dark valley, hell itself, and he took the blows of hatred on himself. What an unusual king. He's a shepherd, but a king. He is gentle as a lamb with the hurting of the people, but he is fierce with those who will not love. And so the gospel passage today is a dramatic reminder that how we follow that second great commandment, to love our neighbor, will determine whether we live forever with the shepherd king. Martin Luther King Jr. referred to those people as the least, the lost, the last, and the lonely. The ancient king of Israel was also in charge of the judges. And so Jesus is going to judge all the nations at the end of our lives and at the end of time. Christ will judge all of us. But you know what? That sounds scary. But we're lucky to have a judge like this, because he is the judge who loves us. He sees into our hearts. And he's kind of like, although it doesn't say this in the scriptures, he's kind of like a teacher who prepares the students for a final exam, but he gives them the questions and the answers. We don't have to cheat. We just have to understand the question and to give the same answers that Jesus gives us. Well, you know what? Darius is going to be received into the church, into God's kingdom today. And his parents are going to be asked by Father, you know, will you teach your son? Will you teach Darius how to live as a subject to the king who loves him? And so that's a great responsibility, but also a great joy, because he's also going to give you great graces to be able to do this. And it will feel sometimes perhaps overwhelming. How do I do this? But God will always be present to give you the graces to be those kind of parents who teach their children to live in God's kingdom. Some of you, some of the children, I'm looking over there because I see a lot of children, but there are children elsewhere here who have received their first communion. You know how we teach children to receive their first communion, and as adults, we could probably be reminded as well. We make a throne of our hands. Well, some people receive on the tongue, which is beautiful, but when we receive in the hand, we make a throne with our hands to make sure that we guard the king as the king of our hearts. The God who takes on our flesh, Jesus Christ, says to his Father in the garden, "Not my will, but yours." And then he goes out and gives his entire self for us. What an unusual king. but he allows us to make a throne for him in our hands and in our hearts. Well, St. Teresa of Calcutta is the modern saint who shows all of these things very clearly. When we do good to anyone, we are doing it to Jesus. That's what he tells us today. Every act of charity we do it for the very Christ. He says, "For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When I was thirsty, you gave me drink. A stranger and you welcomed me. Naked and you clothed me. Ill and you cared for me. In prison and you visited me." And we might say, "Well, I don't see myself ever going to a prison, and I don't see anybody walking around that who's naked, and I need to give them clothes." But you know what? There are lots of ways that we do this, that we can do this. Perhaps there are people who are kind of in prison in their own negative thoughts about themselves, and they need for us maybe something as simple as a smile. They need for us just to know that they are cared for and that we can be Christ's love for them. Somebody around us might not have no clothes at all, but maybe they don't have warm enough clothes. Maybe we need to look at our clothes and say, "You know, I have more coats than I need. Maybe this other coat I have belongs to somebody else who really needs it and that I can give it away." And we could go through all of these things and say, maybe there are people around us who need us to feed them. Maybe with physical food that we can bring for the food bank, but maybe also somebody needs us to just nourish them with a little bit of love, because maybe they haven't received any love today or this week. Now, I think that we all need to look. I know I need to look at all the areas of my life that I have not given over to the kingship of Jesus. Bishop Barron says that if we can't say that Jesus is my life, is my king, then we're kind of just playing at Christianity and not taking it seriously. We're not treating him as the king of our whole lives. If we think of ourselves as a house, but we only let Jesus into maybe near the front door or into one or two rooms in our house, then he's not really our king, is he? Or if we put him in a corner of our lives, or we say that, you know, he's over there, but he's not in me. He's the ruler of a faraway land, but he's not in my life. Then we are just playing at our faith. And so we might ask ourselves all the questions that Jesus asks today in the gospel. I won't repeat them, but invite you to go home and read them again. And today we are here on a Sunday, a day that belongs to the King. And so will we honor him the rest of today? He knows, you know, I'll finish with this, because you know that we're coming to a time in the year where we tell our children, or they see on television and everywhere they look, that there's this Santa Claus who sees you when you're sleeping and when you're awake, and he knows when you're good and when you're bad. You know, Jesus is not spying on us like that, but he does know our hearts, and he knows whether we're trying. And so that's our job today, is to try to do what he wants us to do out of love. And because he loves us, we are servants of this Shepherd King. So today we give praise and honor and glory to the one who has been given dominion over all things, and yet he offers himself as a sacrifice for all. So let us not allow today to pass without making him Lord and King of our hearts, our lives, and our actions. Yes, he is a strange and unusual king, but don't you want a king like that in your life? Now you and I just have to go out and act like we do.